Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm joined in this hour by Father John Martinez. We're going to be discussing several things that I want to ask him his opinion of. And then Mark Glenn is going to be with us from 9 to 10 o'clock this morning to talk about issues going on at the American Free Press. Today I'm having Father Martinez on separately from Mark Glenn. Next week I'm going to try and combine them. Have a number of reasons for that. We'll get into that as the show progresses. But I want to have Father Martinez bear with me here because I want to read something that I think is absolutely important that I've not discussed on the show before, and it needs to be discussed. And then I'm going to bring Father Martinez into this conversation. You know, we've heard a lot recently about the Supreme Court ruling on partial birth abortion. What we have not been told by the mainstream media is that the partial birth abortion ruling by the Supreme Court that banned partial birth abortion, that upheld Congress's ban on that practice in Gonzalez versus Carhart, in fact upholds Roe versus Wade. This is something that the mainstream media has not told you about, folks, and we need to underscore this morning. That's exactly what happens in this particular situation. I wanted to mention briefly what Paul Lacoutis has said about this at The Wanderer, what Susan E. Wills has said about it at the National Catholic Register, and then what Hadley Arks has said about it in National Review Online through the so-called Ethics and Public Policy Center. Absolutely critical information, and then I want to bring Father Martinez into this discussion as well as a conversation with him this morning about Iraq. But in regard to what Paul Lacoutis tells us at The Wanderer, he says that the April 18th U.S. Supreme Court ruling that upheld Congress's ban on partial birth abortion in Gonzalez versus Carhart will not in and of itself prevent one late-term partial birth abortion. While the ruling, contrary to the media hullabaloo, upholds the court's notorious 1973 Roe versus Wade decision, as did the bill itself passed by the Congress, it only says that the federal government and the states may pass legislation declaring restrictions on this particular technique. That is, such restrictions are not unconstitutional. Simply put, Justice Anthony Kennedy, a former employee of the California Catholic Conference of Bishops, held that abortions of late-term babies can continue up to the moment of birth, and even the partial birth abortion technique can be used as long as the child is killed in utero. The fact remains that late-term abortions will be available as before. The only difference now is that nurses assisting doctors performing the partial birth abortion technique invented by former Catholic altar boy Dr. James T. McMahon, now buried in Holy Martyrs section of Holy Cross Cemetery in Los Angeles, will not have to watch the child squirm as it is pulled out of its mother. Kennedy wrote, quote, "The Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act does not restrict an abortion procedure involving the delivery of an expired fetus. The act, furthermore, is inapplicable to abortions that do not involve vaginal delivery, for instance, hysterectomy. The act does apply both pre-viability and post-viability because, by common understanding and scientific terminology, a fetus is a living organism while within the womb, whether or not it is viable outside the womb." And then his Planned Parenthood citation follows. "We do not understand this point to be contested by the parties. Second, the Act's definition of partial birth abortion requires the fetus to be delivered until, in the case of a head-first presentation, the entire fetal head is outside the body of the mother, or in the case of breech presentation, any part of the fetal trunk past the navel is outside the body of the mother. The Attorney General concedes, and we agree, that if an abortion procedure does not involve the delivery of a living fetus to one of these anatomical landmarks, where depending on the presentation, either the fetal head or the fetal trunk past the navel is outside the body of the mother, the prohibitions of the act do not apply." We'll be back with Father Martinez. Stay tuned.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father John Martinez is with us this hour. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press is with us the next hour. And I'm going to combine them next week, hopefully, on this show, and have them both on in the same time segment to help me cover an entire set of issues that I think pertain to where you and I are at this particular moment in history with the American Republic. I will conclude my brief presentation on this abortion issue by simply quoting Charles Rice, the Notre Dame professor emeritus of constitutional law, this ruling, meaning the April 18th United States Supreme Court ruling that upheld Congress's ban on partial birth abortion in Gonzalez versus Carhart, this ruling, according to Dr. Rice, is 1984, meaning Orwell, and it is grotesque. The decision does nothing to disturb the current rule that the unborn child is a non-person with no right to life under the U.S. Constitution. All that was at stake here was a statutory restriction as to how that non-person may be legally executed. The campaign to restrict partial birth abortion did enhance public awareness of abortion, but that campaign was and is a reflection of the bankruptcy of the pro-life movement. In any civilized society, the only coherent question is whether an innocent human being can be legally executed. The answer is obviously no. The establishment pro-life movement, by advocating a states' rights approach and by advocating exceptions, has itself framed the issue not in terms of whether, but in terms of which innocent human beings may be executed. The effort to restrict partial birth abortions, Dr. Rice said, frames the issue in terms of how these innocents may be legally executed. That's Paul Lacoutis today talking to us from The Wanderer, and that is the April 26th edition of that publication, pages 1 and 7. Father Martinez, how are you today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. What is your opinion, Father Martinez, of the spiritual and cultural implications of the practice of abortion in America, and what connections do you see between America's increasing acceptance of this barbaric practice on the one hand, and what we have accepted as a people, at least for now, in regard to what our government has been doing in the Middle East? Is there a connection between the two?
Well, that's to get rid of lives. In other words, to bring down the population of the world.
So what you would say then, essentially, is that the society that has said that the unborn life is not valuable or isn't a life, or its life has less value than other things that should have a higher value, the society that says that, in your view, is the same society who comes to accept the kind of militarism that you have indicated is going on with American foreign policy in the Middle East.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Where do you think this is headed? What do you think the end result of this is going to be?
Punishment by God. I think like I mentioned the other day when I talked to you, United States have a black history. It's one of the blackest, probably the emphasis that they permitted to kill babies. Let me give you just a little bit where I stand in this particular case. I got here May 1970, helped the pastor here. If you remember 1970, there were a whole bunch of cities, New York and California, trying to permit abortion. Well, I was preaching in two messages. Then after I preached the two messages, the pastor and I had supper there in the rectory of St. Helens here in the Catholic Church. And then while we were eating a wonderful meal, out of the blue, he said, I want to let you know something about what you preach and the message today. And since I don't get up in the pulpit without preparation, so I say, what was wrong with my sermon? I prepared my sermon pretty good 2-3 hours before I have the sermon. So anyway, he said, what you said about abortion abortion is a mortal sin and all this stuff. Because he was already in his 60s. A priest told me, don't you know that we do not know what the woman is carrying? But then I got a little excited. I said, Father, if the woman does not know what she's carrying, what in the world is she carrying? In other words, for example, we know that in the moment of conception, you have a human being.
Well, Father, let me ask you this. And by the way, Father Martinez, I would ask you respectfully, if you could, to slow your speech down just somewhat for our listeners so that they might understand you more clearly, sir, because you have so many important things to tell us. But I was thinking of you yesterday, Father Martinez, when I was watching CNN. I was watching Wolf Blitzer's Situation Room, and he was interviewing Louis Freeh, the former head of the FBI, and he was mentioning that Mr. Freeh has decided to endorse Rudy Giuliani for the presidency of the United States. Now, Wolf Blitzer mentioned, of course, on the air, that Mr. Giuliani is pro-abortion across the board. He is pro-gay rights movement across the board. And at the same time, Wolf Blitzer did tell the audience that Louis Freeh, who is endorsing Rudolph Giuliani for president, is a member of the Roman Catholic Church. And Wolf Blitzer asked Louis Freeh about this on the air. Now, what do you think about this, Father? Do you think that the Roman Catholic Church is going to have to become more aggressive in its discipline of Roman Catholics who do what Mr. Freeh is doing in this instance, who say, well, on the one hand, well, I'm a part of a pro-life church, but on the other hand, I'm promoting someone aggressively for service at the highest level of the United States government, who would use his office to facilitate the killing of the unborn. What do you say about this, both the Catholics as well as the non-Roman Catholics?
Well, remember that I'm Catholic, so I'm not a traditionalist because I don't go with a word traditionalist. Either you are Catholic, and you have to believe in tradition that we're Catholic. What I'm talking about here, I, as a priest, Catholic priest, agree 100% with the church, with the laws of the church, that, for example, anybody, for example, a Catholic nurse, or somebody, for example, that a Catholic lady is asked. Something good screwed up?
Yeah,
I can still hear you. Go ahead.
What I'm talking about here, that, for example, anybody, suppose that somebody will come, I will be an ordinary Catholic. Somebody, a friend of mine will come and say, John, what would be the possibility for me to abort? But the teaching of the Catholic Church is, if I would say yes, I would be automatically excommunicated from out of the church. Now, the woman that commits the abortion, be also, if she's a Catholic, she would be excommunicated. Now, for example, all the nurses, they give the knife to the doctor, if the doctor is a Catholic, he would be excommunicated. Well, the trouble here with the bishops and what happens to call, especially the Americans, they are a bunch of cowards. They do not want to stand up and stand up with and back the church on this particular issue.
Well, you know, this I think is, I would say, quite clearly the case, but simply so that Roman Catholics who listen to this show may understand that I, as a Lutheran pastor, am not only pro-life, but I have the strongest respect for the true pro-life people in the Catholic Church. I would say that this same problem has been there among many Lutherans who have not taken a stand as they should, because their faith should require it in the protection of the sanctity of the unborn. And just to put this into perspective in terms of how serious I think this is, I'm going to quote Susan E. Wills here from the National Catholic Register and also Hadley Arks at National Review Online. Susan E. Wills says in the National Catholic Register that for the first time since Roe versus Wade, the court has upheld a law banning a specific and particularly heinous abortion method. That result alone, however, does not amount to much. Abortion remains legal throughout the pregnancy. A doctor performing late-term abortions still has two commonly used methods to choose from: killing the child by tearing off her limbs piecemeal, his or her limbs piecemeal, or injecting digoxin to cause a fetal heart attack while the child is still in the womb. Doctors now are simply foreclosed from intentionally delivering a living child partly outside the mother's body before committing an act that kills the child, unquote. Then Hadley Arks goes on to say something which I'll get back to when we come back, and then ask Father Martinez for comment. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. is the nation that permits the killing of the unborn, the nation that has become increasingly callous to what is going on in the Middle East. We'll take this up with Father Martinez when we return. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
This is Mark Ann Faust America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined in this hour by Father John Martinez between 8 and 9 Central. Mark Glenn will then join us between 9 and 10 Central, talking about things going on with both the American Free Press as well as Crescent and Cross. Next week, I will have Father John on with Mark Glenn together. We're going to try and put that mix together as a regular Friday gig on this show, in order that we might continue to unfold some of the things that are going on in this country, domestically and culturally, as well as the most critical things that we need to say about the foreign policy of the United States at present. We've been talking this morning with Father Martinez very briefly about this abortion issue as it relates to the Supreme Court's recent banning of the so-called partial birth abortion procedure. At the same time that we discuss that, it's important to recognize, I think, that, in fact, this April 18th Supreme Court ruling in Gonzalez versus Carhart that upheld Congress's ban on the partial birth abortion in Gonzalez versus Carhart will not in and of itself prevent one late-term partial birth abortion. There's just a particular technique that has been banned. Otherwise, Roe versus Wade has been reaffirmed. The Casey case of 1992 has been reaffirmed by this majority opinion. And that is something that the mainstream media has absolutely ignored and distorted for, I think, very obvious reasons. Wanted to mention here that Hadley Arks at National Review Online, through the Ethics and Public Policy Center, has mentioned something on April 24th that I think also underscores the truth of this. In a piece entitled, Kennedy Ruling Protects All Methods of Abortion Save One. He says, quote, Justice Kennedy has given new meaning to the aphorism that anything worth doing is worth doing badly. The decision Wednesday in Gonzalez versus Carhart seems to have set off chains of euphoria and alarm in the land. The pro-lifers have shown a joy that is surely out of scale with the narrow, constricted opinion that sprang from the mean nature of Justice Kennedy. And the pro-choicers, wringing their hands, seem not to have noticed that Kennedy has so cabined the approval of this federal law on partial birth abortion that the abortion liberty, quote-unquote, seems to have been placed safely beyond challenge. As Kennedy was careful to assure his audience, the abortionist who goes merrily on his way dismembering a child, or as he put it, the one who, quote, disarticulates a fetus at the neck, in effect decapitating it, unquote, is safely insulated from any danger of prosecution. The abortionist simply needs to avoid that indelicate matter of having a substantial part of the child dangling outside the body of the pregnant woman as he inserts a scissor into the skull of the child or finds another way of killing it. Kennedy went out of his way to sound again the themes in the Casey case of 1992 in reaffirming Roe versus Wade. We assume, he said, the following principles for the purposes of this opinion, and then went on to list propositions that no one else among his colleagues in the majority is likely to accept. For example, that before the point of viability, a state may not prohibit a woman from making a decision to, quote, terminate her pregnancy, unquote, or that the state may not place a, quote, undue burden, unquote, on a woman seeking abortion. Now Justice Kennedy insists in the same way that the bill does not diminish Roe versus Wade, and we wonder whether we should discount that flat assertion in the same way we did in Solicitor General Paul Clement's argument in this case in November. But Kennedy, in control of the opinion, has acted precisely to foreclose virtually all piecemeal challenges to Roe. He has made it clear that the killing of the unborn can proceed almost wholly unchecked, as long as the grisly acts of dismembering or poisoning are taking place solely in the womb, unquote. Again, that's Hadley Arks at National Review Online on April the 24th. Father Martinez, as we then start to move from this terrible, terrible question to the larger issue of American foreign policy in the Middle East, if one takes the position that you do, sir, and that I do for that matter, that the killing of the unborn is an affront to God, and that there are implications of this for the eventual judgment of an entire nation, an entire empire on the part of God, are we to see in this present situation in the Middle East, in your view, of a genesis of the judgment of God against the American empire and against the Western world for embracing, among other things, this post-Christian morality as it relates to both abortion and homosexuality? What do you think?
I agree with you on that. And in other words, this thing is God is not pleased with us, with the United States. The United States is using this power to spread out evil. Not only, for example, in abortion, for example, when they went to Iraq, you know, now the Iraqi women are allowed to do this kind of garbage. Now they have other people, well, they didn't have it under Hussein, now they have it under the United States. We, sooner or later, we're going to get it. All this is into a showdown, and when it happens, the United States, hell, both.
Another great irony, and we'll be back, but another great irony that the crimes that Saddam Hussein was committed of, convicted of committing, he was committing when he was a friend of the United States. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Mark Anfas and Erica coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Father John Martinez during this current hour segment. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press will be with us between 9 and 10 o'clock this morning. And then next week, I hope to combine Father John and Mark Glenn in a three-way conversation on matters of great import that involve our situation in this country domestically as well as internationally. And, you know, as I talked to Father Martinez about this tragic situation in the United States, culturally and morally and constitutionally, it seems to me, as it relates to the Roe versus Wade decision of 1973 and the Casey decision of 1992, and the way in which the majority opinion in the April 18th decision that was reached by the Supreme Court to allegedly ban the partial birth abortion practice. That was their ruling upholding Congress's ban on this practice in Gonzalez versus Carhart. That in fact what we have is a situation with a larger issue of the abortion ideology has in fact been reaffirmed once more by the United States Supreme Court. And there has been, as a result of this most recent ruling, a destruction of any attempt to reverse Roe through piecemeal means. Susan E. Wills has confirmed this at the National Catholic Register in her article of April 24th. Hadley Arks confirms the same thing at National Review Online in his April 24th post there. And then, of course, Paul Lacoutis has a very extensive discussion of this issue in the April 26th The Wanderer, pages 1 and 7. And again, as you look at this entire situation, I think Notre Dame Professor Emeritus of Constitutional Law, Dr. Charles E. Rice, has it down correctly when he says that this ruling is 1984, meaning Orwell, and it is grotesque. The decision does nothing to disturb the current rule that the unborn child is a non-person with no right to life under the U.S. Constitution. All that was at stake here was a statutory restriction as to how that non-person may be legally executed. This is strong language coming to us, of course, from Notre Dame's Professor Emeritus of Constitutional Law, but at least in my judgment, it's entirely obvious that he is correct at this point and that mainstream media once again has managed to not get this down correctly in what it has reported for what I think are all the obvious reasons. Now, we have gone from that, this abortion controversy, to a larger discussion this morning of the United States and its present policy in the Middle East. It must be noticed, folks, and I think Father Martinez alluded to it just before the break, that we have a circumstance here where Saddam Hussein was convicted of certain crimes that subsequently resulted in his execution. What has not been noted by the mainstream press in the United States, however, is that some of these things that Mr. Hussein was convicted of having done were things that he did in the years when he was an ally of the United States. And the issue of his activities in this regard was never raised by the United States in the immediate aftermath of these alleged activities. It's only been in recent years, as Saddam Hussein ceased being a favored person with the American government and the American intelligence establishment and became perceived as an adversary or a liability where those institutions are concerned, that all of a sudden the issue of his past crimes became something that resulted in a showcase trial that was seen on international television. I think you can see where I'm going with this. The same government that now prides itself on having removed him, the same government, meaning our own government, which prides itself on having been involved in activities that resulted in the man's conviction for crimes and subsequent execution, is the same government that in 1953, according to Richard Sale, the intelligence correspondent of the United Press International, hired Saddam Hussein in 1958 to assassinate the then Prime Minister of Iraq in a contract hit attempt that was organized and facilitated and financed by the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, the attempt failed, but that isn't the point. The point is that the CIA utilized Saddam Hussein, according to Richard Sale of United Press International, in an attempted contract killing, a premeditated killing. Something that obviously is not only a violation of God's law, it's a violation of international law. That began a long series of things that the United States did in conjunction with Saddam Hussein that conveniently are now forgotten by the American media, conveniently now forgotten by the Bush administration, conveniently now forgotten by those in the Israeli lobby operating in the United States that point to the crimes of Saddam, but do not point to the areas where he was in fact doing the bidding of both the United States as well as Israel from time to time, directly or indirectly. Father Martinez, what do you make of the fact that the media in this country and the Bush administration are not talking about any of this? Go ahead, sir.
Well, like I mentioned to you, then, especially I think that you might agree with me on this particular case, the situation not only of the United States but the world, say who is the main responsible for this thing, I would say the clergy. We clergymen are responsible for these things because the people rely on us. Of course, now with the scandals, the Catholic Church and what have you, elect back to the clergy, Catholic Church, have referred it down. So in other words, people think that they can then make their own decisions. And the case, for example, of what the Catholic Church especially should do is to stand up, be counted, and say very clearly the teachings of the Church as far as taking the life of a person. You get me?
Well, Father Martinez, then, let's take a look at this whole issue, again, of clergy silence in the face of some of these atrocities, both some of the domestic cultural issues that we've talked about this morning, especially the abortion issue, and what the Supreme Court, in fact, did say in its April 18th ruling, which affirmed Roe versus Wade and affirmed Casey. So we have a lot of clergy silence on this. We have a lot of clergy silence about what is presently going on in Iraq. And I acknowledge this, and it grieves my heart, whether it involves Roman Catholic clergy or Lutheran clergy or Calvinistic clergy or Pentecostal clergy. A lot of people are maintaining silence about this, and I think that that's an affront to God. Now, having said that, let's go back to what I talked about at an earlier point on the show. Yesterday, I'm watching CNN, and Wolf Blitzer is on there, and he's talking with a Roman Catholic, Louis Free, former head of the FBI, worked for the Clinton administration in that capacity. Louis Free has now publicly endorsed Rudolph Giuliani for the presidency of the United States. Rudolph Giuliani is pro-abortion across the board. Rudolph Giuliani even supports federal funding of Planned Parenthood and other elements of the abortion industry. Rudolph Giuliani is not simply pro-gay rights. It is a matter of record. And the American Free Press printed this photo in this last week's edition of Rudolph Giuliani, if people will pardon this expression, in drag. Rudolph Giuliani wearing ladies' clothing at a pro-homosexual rally in New York City, simply to demonstrate as mayor of New York his solidarity with the homosexual rights community. Now, given that all of that is the case, it's a matter of public record. Here you have Louis Free, who is a known Roman Catholic, openly endorsing and supporting Giuliani for the presidency of the United States, given the man's absolute opposition to some fundamental values, both in that the Roman Catholic Church has stood on historically anyway, that Orthodox Lutheranism has stood on historically, and that Evangelical Protestant Christianity has stood on historically. Now, in the case of Mr. Free, he's a Roman Catholic. What, in his case, and I isolate him only because he was discussing this on national and international television yesterday publicly, what should the Roman Catholic Church do with Louis Free specifically? And I bring it up only because he's a real obvious test case in regard to church discipline. What should the Catholic Church do with Mr. Free? And what are the implications for the Catholic Church and its theology and its practice of church discipline if it doesn't do anything about Mr. Free?
Well, the problem is this, to a certain degree, at times the Catholic Church have not only kept violence, they have gone back to protect the abortionists and what have you, those that go for abortion. Let me give an example. Some bishops, United States bishops, wanted to stop those bogus so-called Catholics go for abortion, like Kennedy, Giuliani, what have you, all the Catholic trash. Then the trouble was that Rome told, at least a few American bishops told them that they should, this so-called abortionist, a Catholic, not receive Holy Communion. But the thing went to Rome and what have you, so Rome came out and said, well, let it go, don't rock the boat. Let them continue in the Holy Communion. So these buggers, you know, so-called Catholics like Giuliani and what have you, they continue. So the Catholic Church is very, very clear in its laws that anybody that, anybody that goes for abortion, that fails abortion, is excommunicated or has anything to do with abortion. Now, for example, a case of that's where the bishops are dragging their feet. They should withhold the teachings of the Catholic Church and the chips hook with the maid. So they should, what's the name? They should say, well, the Catholic Church is teaching this. And of course, you know, let's go a step forward. Here comes the elections. For example, if I would vote Giuliani, I would be excommunicated because he's publicly known to go for abortion. You want to talk about?
Yes. And so essentially then what you're saying is that just looking at the Roman Catholic Church alone, and I think, you know, maybe it's legitimate for me to include the Lutheran and Calvinistic churches here and all the churches of the Protestant Reformation in this as well. What you're saying then is that whatever version of Christianity it is that we're speaking of in the most general terms this morning, that when it comes to abortion, when it comes to something like Freemasonry, when it comes to Zionism, when it comes to the present American foreign policy in Iraq, that we need to speak clearly, we need to speak distinctly, and we need to speak as a Christian people with one voice, and to the extent that there are those who claim to be with us, who are not speaking the truth on these issues, that we need to clarify their relationship with the larger Christian church. Is that your view?
By all means. Sure.
Well,
huh?
What then do you think this means? For example, let's take the present Catholic situation with the armed forces of the United States. You have many, many Roman Catholic chaplains in the armed forces of the United States. You have, of course, many individual Roman Catholic lay people who serve in our Army and Navy and Air Force and Marine Corps. In regard to this present stance that you urge upon us in regard to respectful, legitimate disobedience when it comes to what Mr. Bush is advocating in Iraq, how do these Catholic chaplains in the American Armed Forces deal with this issue? How do the Catholic lay people presently serving in the armed forces of the United States deal with this issue, given the fact that undoubtedly if they speak out, they would be court-martialed? What would your advice be to them?
First of all, remember we talked about Bishop John Michael Botian.
Yes.
Days ago, I was talking to the same lady that gave me the information, the email and what have you, his address, his full name. She lives in Lorain, Ohio. She said, I asked him, well, what is Bishop Botian doing? She said that Bishop Botian wrote a book on the war against Iraq. So what happened was this, that the so-called American Catholic bishops, according to her, got together and they showed a book and they publicly stated that they do not agree with Bishop John Michael Botian. So they disobeyed Rome, like I mentioned to you. John Paul II said that Iraqi war wasn't unjust. So they posted these so-called bishops did not obey JP2 and the Iraqi war. They did obey on the case of the capital punishment when it was a few years ago, sent by John Paul II, which should go against capital punishment. So they are pick and choose. So when I'm talking about this situation here, like I mentioned, it doesn't take a genius to realize that the first war of Iraq, what we have now, the one by Miami is the one we have now, are based on lies. Consequently, people should, especially those that are soldiers that are appointed to go to Iraq, they should meditate, they should stand up, be counted, especially the Catholics, should ask their captains whether this is a just war or not. Of course, the captains, you know, the cowards and what have you, they will probably, I don't know what they will say, but they will not stand up on it. They might also be punished. In other words, it goes back to what the way you ended so beautiful talk that we had in April 19. We are going to be obeyed. Are we going to obey Bush or are we going to obey God?
Well, yes, I think that, for me at least, is exactly where the issue rests. And certainly, as I think about this issue, do you believe, Father Martinez, that in terms of the cultural decline in the United States, in your lifetime and mine, I'm thinking especially of the last 45 to 50 years, and certainly the Roe versus Wade decision in 1973, I think illustrates this as nothing else does. Do you think that this cultural decline has created a situation where we are talking about a decline in the belief in God and a corresponding belief in the deification of the state and the government? Let's examine that just briefly when we come back. This is Mark Dankoff on RBN coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, with Father John Martinez. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
We're back. This is Mark Danpaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Father John Martinez has been with us in this hour of the show. Next hour, my guest will be Mark Glenn of the American Free Press. Mark will be talking with me between 9 and 10 o'clock this morning. Next week, at this time, Friday, I'm going to combine Father Martinez with Mark Glenn and maybe get at the bottom of some very significant issues with both of these gentlemen in regard to the domestic situation in the United States and as that also relates to the foreign policy of this country. Father Martinez, we just have a few minutes left. We have a situation, sir, in the book of Daniel. I'm thinking of this because of my conversation with Dr. Kaveh Farouk on Wednesday in his new book, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. We have a situation in the book of Daniel where at one point King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon demands that in his empire, all people in his empire worship a 90-foot-tall obelisk that he ordered to be built on the plain of Dura. Now then when we fast forward to the last book of the New Testament, John's Apocalypse, he's writing on the island of Patmos, and he's been put there because Emperor Domitian of Rome has decided to punish John because John will not participate in the cult of emperor deification and emperor worship that Domitian decided was going to be instituted throughout the Roman Empire. Now, when we look at Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon in the 6th century B.C., and when we look at Domitian in the Roman Empire in the 1st century A.D., is it fair to make comparisons between those two men and the current president of the United States? What do you think?
Well, I agree with you on that. It's quite a better comparison. In other words, they tried to put too much veneration toward, in the case here, J.P. Bush, some Americans put too much emphasis on Bush.
But, yes.
But to the point, I mean?
Do you foresee in this country, I guess this is what I'm driving at. Mr. Stadtmiller and I talked about this last night in terms of John's concern that the remnant in this country is going to undergo persecution that could even result in death. Certainly, this was going on under both Nebuchadnezzar and Domitian. Do you think it's going to happen in this country to the believing remnant?
I think we're going toward that direction. My point was the name and the trouble, you know, we Christians have to be undergo a lot of punishment. And the trouble is because one of the punishments is because the few of us who know the truth do not speak out against going on in the world. Silence, if we keep silence consent, many of us should speak out. You know what am I talking about?
We'll be back with Mark Glenn of the American Free Press. Thanks to Father Martinez for being on in this last hour. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press will join us in the next hour. This is Mark Danpaus, America, coming to us live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Mark Glenn. We'll be back.